Singing. I guess I'm on. All right, good to see you. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Really appreciate the message this morning and looking at the Word of God. And I was tossed between two or three different messages to bring tonight. And I believe God's laid on this one on my heart because there's several things that I want to go through as we look at some of these passages as we're going to look at tonight. Jeremiah chapter 32, if you please turn to it tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you for your giving. I trust that we're able to honor our missionaries through our double tithe. I think it was extended on right through this evening's giving as well. So Jeremiah chapter 32. A preacher had been summoned by the Lord to minister to a whole city. But this was a city given wholly to idolatry. Sin and abomination and fornication was rampant. And he was given to the task to call the people to something called repentance and to turn and to believe. And he preached the message. For doom for 40 years long, this preacher went. On and on he preached. And at time in tears. And he would fall on his face. And finally, at the pressure of the religious leaders of the day, the king cast him into a dungeon. A pit of miry clay to die of to die from starvation. The preacher's name was Jeremiah. And his particular book records, he's known as the weeping prophet. He's known as the man who was able to really preach through it. And how did he do it? Why didn't he give up? The preacher was strengthened by something on the inside and not on the outside. Jeremiah tonight, Jeremiah chapter 32, records for us a prayer that Jeremiah had. And he came before the Lord, as probably you and I come before the Lord, about some things that we really don't know what God's going to do and how he's going to do some things in our lives. We're in the midst of upheaval throughout the world, the crisis there in the Middle East continues to explode even more. ISIS is about to take over this country, as they say, and increasingly difficulties. And how is it that we're going to be able to stand against that? Well, Jeremiah was faced with a whole nation that had gone astray. I believe we're faced with a nation that is about to go astray, if not. But we're also faced with a God who is able to do something greater than we can even imagine. And his name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Yahweh. His name is Faithful, Everlasting, the Almighty God, Prince of Peace. And that was the God that Jeremiah serves, and that is the God that you and I serve. We find his prayer here in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 16. And now, when I delivered the deed of the purchase to Barak, the son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Join me in prayer, please. Father, tonight, we stand at the precipice of some increasing difficult days, and yet we know that thou art the God of eternity, and you are able to do anything. You are God. We pray, dear Father, that you would once again bless your word as we hear this message proclaimed again, that there is nothing too hard for thee. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, We realize that. From the beginning of our lives in Christ to the end of our lives in Christ, we realize that. We pray, dear Father, that you would bless again your word. Help me as I look into these scriptures tonight, that Christ would be glorified even through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeremiah turned to a prayer, and he turned to God, and God answered with a thundering message, and that was, there's nothing too hard for me. Starting at verse 16 and 17, he answered and he prayed. Jeremiah had been given a seemingly impossible task to preach to an unbelieving people, a disobedient who had forsaken him. And it comes to this, that he had said, wow, this contemporary of Zephaniah and of Habakkuk, with the chief warning, unless they turn, they would be put into captivity. Can you imagine? Here he is. He's preaching to these people, the nation of Israel, out there. And he's saying, folks, ship up or you're going to ship out. In other words, you are going to go into a captivity time. And that was promised all the way back in the Old Testament. It was all the way back in Leviticus. God had promised and said, if you don't turn, you will go. And you know the path that they took, and they did go into captivity. Lock, stock, and barrel. God's people seem to do that over and over again, do they not? They have. Are we any different? Am I any different? Well, we need to learn the lessons that Jeremiah was giving out there tonight. Did you know we serve the God of the impossible? Amen? There is nothing too hard for our God. The New Testament puts it this way. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. All above. And I love that verse in Ephesians chapter 3. And then he continues on and says, throughout all ages, world without ends. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yes or no? I didn't hear that. No! Did you know that there is no promise too hard for God to keep? No promise. Go with me to a couple of verses. This first one is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Do you know that he is the God of promise? What he promises, he will do. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 20. And here is a great verse because it tells us something about the God that we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20. And the Bible says, for all the what? Promises of God in him are what? Yea, and in him amen. Hallelujah. That's a Baptist verse. No. All right, it is a verse that gives us the so be it. It is right. God will do that. There is no promise. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He will never, never. Anchoring your soul to the promises of God will do an everlasting work. God keeps all of his promises. But the problem is we sometimes don't know enough to lay claim to them. Kind of like the guy going off to laying claim to something that was there all the time. and never opened the book and never read the promises of God, never understood them. From kiver to kiver, 700 plus promises are found in the Word of God. Some promises, yes, to Israel. I understand that. Many are promises to you and to I as a believer in Jesus Christ. And when we anchor our soul to them, there is no promise, no promise too hard for the Lord to keep. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Number two, there's no problem too hard for God to solve. It's been said many times, and you've heard this before, has it ever occurred to you that it's never occurred to God? He knows already. He understands, and he understands and knows what problems could come to pass. Psalm 139 in your Bible is a great place to look at how he knows you and I intimately. Psalm 139. This is a great verse. I wish I could quote this, but I can't. All right. Psalm 139. Let's go to it. Verses 1 through 6. The Bible says here, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast now knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, and understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my drying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue. But, O Lord, thou what? Knowest it altogether. Wow. Knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 17 continues, thou, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. I awake and I am still with thee. Oh, God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Is there ever a problem that's hard for anybody to solve? Yeah. But is there any that God cannot solve? You remember the passage in Genesis chapter 18. If you want to turn there, you can. All right, Genesis chapter 18, here it is. God had promised a son to somebody by the name of Abraham. And that son was going to be the son of promise. In chapter 18, we read about this, and the wife named Sarah had a little difficulty understanding that. And God used his word once again, verse 9. We're going to take a look at this. Verse 8, and took butter and milk and calf and dressed it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto them, where is Sarah thy wife? And that's God. And he's saying, behold, in thy tent. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah said, whoopee! Now, Sarah really laughed at that. Are you kidding me? Come on, this was absolutely incredible. But I believe God puts it in the Bible there, and this is to really strengthen us and to help us to see that he's going to do something beyond imagination. Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken of age, the verse 11 says, and Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. And the Lord said to Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall assuredly, and look, what does God say is anything too what? Hard for the Lord. At this time appointed, I will return unto thee. Verse 21. Chapter 21. Did it take place? Absolutely. Go over in chapter 21, and there it happens. And the birth of Isaac, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had, what's the word? Said. He had promised. It had come to pass. God surely was going to answer that particular and solve that problem. Isaac, Abraham, talk about a problem. What problems do you face? What problems do I face? If we take it to the Lord and we understand that we are serving the God that does the impossible, we will understand and we will take that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? In Acts chapter 12, have you reached the point in your Christian experience thus so far that your prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceiling? Have you reached the point in your Christian life that sometimes it's just, what in the world are you doing, God? How are things going to work out? How is this ever going to happen? Hang on to God with all of your heart and soul and mind. There is nothing too hard for thee. There's not a prayer that God cannot answer. There's not a prayer. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me and I will what? Answer thee and show thee what? And mighty things which thou knowest not. What is it the Lord has burdened you to pray about? He will answer. Wednesday night, I gave a very simple message. Ask, seek, and knock. Is there anything too hard for the Lord to answer? There absolutely is not. There absolutely will not be. John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. Go ahead, please, to that in the New Testament. John chapter 14. There are so many promises here, and there's so much in the Bible that deals with this. I'll tell you, it will just astound you as you go through these verses. John chapter 14. The Bible says here in John chapter 4, this is the verse that records these particular verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Chapter 14, verse 12. And the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall, here's the word we were looking for Wednesday night, ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask. We need to continue to ask. And we need to continue to look. If I can get this straight, I heard this testimony of a man in Florida, and I gave a little briefly of this on Wednesday night. A man by the name of Les Brown. He's about 75 years old now. But back in the 60s, early 60s, he had a desire to do something with his life, and he really felt that he was going to be on the radio someday, and he felt that he was going to be an announcer on the radio someday. And so he looked up and he found a radio station nearby, and he began to go to the people that were in charge there and to the director that was in charge of the radio. So this is back in the 60s now, and you have to put yourself back there, all right? Back in the 60s, radio was very, very important back there. TV and all that sort of stuff wasn't around so much. So it was radio. You listened to that, and that was very, very important. And individuals that announced music and announced various things that were taking place, they were very, very important. Well, he, Les Brown, really felt that he wanted to do that. And he had told his mother and he told his parents, hey, I'm going to be on the radio. So I'm going to be on the radio someday. You need to listen. I'm going to be on the radio someday. So he went to the radio station and he knocked on the door and he went and the manager came out and he said, hello, what are you doing? All right. And he said, I'm looking to become a radio announcer. And he said, we have nothing here for you. Absolutely. What are you doing here? Go away. Go away and don't come back. Second day came back. Second day and Les went up and knocked on the door and the manager came and the manager talked to him and the manager said, hey, I told you yesterday the very same thing. Don't come back. You're never going to be an announcer. You're absolutely not going to be an announcer. So he went away. Third day, knocked on the door, came back to the door. And the manager came and he talked to him and said, listen, I told you there is nothing here for you to get involved in. You cannot, you're never going to be an announcer, you're never going to be one. Les would keep talking to his parents and he kept talking to his mom and he said, hey, I'm going to be on the radio someday. I'm absolutely going to be on the radio someday. You need to listen. Fourth day came. Went to the door. Manager came to the door and he opened the door and Les Brown said, I am here to become a radio announcer. And he said, would you go get me a cup of coffee? And he ran out the door and got a cup of coffee for him. Came back and he began to work in the radio station. Just get to know people there. And he would go in and out every day and get coffee and do everything he wanted to. But he knew he had planted in his heart that he was going to be an announcer someday. He knew that. He understood that. He understood that. But the manager didn't know that. Manager didn't know that. One day, manager came to him and said, Les, can you drive? He was 16 years old. Sure, I can drive. Now, some of you will understand what I'm talking about here. This is comical, but this is very, very interesting. He began, and the manager went to him and said, hey, I need you to go and take my limousine and pick up some people at the airport. They're called the Supremes. Do you know them? He went and picked them up. Now, Les Brown couldn't drive. He didn't tell the manager. He didn't know how to drive. And he said, and this is comic. Just tell him, I'm going down through there and I'm driving. He got them there. Long story short, one day, the man who was the disc jockey and he was involved in the radio station, he became very sick. Les Brown was every day into there. Les Brown was there every day he was in there. And he would watch this guy and he knew exactly what was going on. He had practiced everything and knew everything what was going on. This guy gets sick. Now this is where it gets comical. The manager turned to Les Brown and he said, Les, I need you to go out and find me somebody to replace this radio announcer. And Les turned and said, sure, boss. He came back 5 minutes later and he said, I can't find anyone. And that day, Les Brown stepped into the radio station. You know what he did? He called his mother. He called his aunts. He called everybody that he could. And he said, I'm on the radio. He kept asking. That's what prayer is about, folks. He kept asking. He kept asking. And God will answer. For years, our pastor has been praying and burdened for this city. We have been praying for a revival in this country. And you understand that there is no place too hard for God to revive. There is no place too hard for God to revive. The book of Jonah, if you'll know it, in Jonah chapter 3, please turn to it. The book of Jonah is about a preacher. And that preacher was called by God and he said no. And then in chapter 3, he said yes. And Nineveh was saved. Duncan Campbell is better known as the connection with the Lewis Revival, a revival on the island of Lewis off the coast of Scotland. This revival, which took place in the 1950s, was a demonstration of God's wonderful working. Duncan Campbell was used by God in another revival that is not one well known. It was a revival that took place on the Isle of Burnwick off the coast of Scotland. Duncan Campbell was at the big convention of the Northern Ireland called the Bangor Convention. He was sitting in the platform next to the chairman of the convention when he suddenly was gripped with a conviction that he needed to leave at once and to go to the Isle of Burnwick. And when the convention chairman at that said leave to go to the Isle of Burnwick, the chairman said, you can't leave. You're supposed to preach the closing sermon of the convention. But after that, they discussed it, the chairman agreed. Duncan Campbell, next morning, traveled by plane and ferry boat and finally arrived at the little island called Burnrock, and the island of only 500 inhabitants. This is a true story. This is a true account. Duncan Campbell had never been there before. He had never seen or never been invited, humanly speaking. He did not know anyone on the island. And so when he arrived, he asked the young boy, could you direct me to the nearest minister? And the boy said, there's no ministers on this island. And so Duncan Campbell said, well then, could you direct me to the nearest elder? And the boy pointed out to the house where the elder lived. Duncan Campbell asked the boy, would you please go tell him Duncan Campbell is here? If he wonders who that is, tell him it is Campbell of the Lewis Revival. Later, Duncan Campbell found out more about the story. On that very day, he was on the platform at the Bangor Convention. Hector McKenna had spent the entire day in prayer. Entire day in prayer. He was deeply burdened and the condition of the church on the island. He was especially burdened about the condition of the young people. His wife told Duncan Campbell later, three times he saw the husband come to the door of the barn, and she heard him cry out, God, I don't know where he is. I don't know. Will you send him? At 10 o'clock that evening, Hector McKenna came convinced that God had heard the cry, and Duncan Campbell would arrive on a particular day. Duncan Campbell preached. And after the service, the older gentleman, Hector McKenna, came to Duncan Campbell and said, I hope you're not disappointed that revival hasn't come to the church tonight. At his first preaching, it didn't happen. And yet, this McKenna said he felt God was hovering over the town. The congregation was headed down the hillside away from the church building. Duncan Campbell and Hector were following, and they were about 300 yards from the building when all of a sudden the older gentleman took his hat off and said, stand, Mr. Campbell, God has come. God has come. See what is happening. Duncan Campbell looked over the hillside at the congregation. He saw the people falling on their knees, and he heard the cry of the penitent in the mass meeting, and began that night at 11 o'clock in the hillside, and it lasted until 4 o'clock in the morning. He said the island was suddenly gripped by God, and there was an awareness of God and consciousness of God. The atmosphere was changed, and the power of Almighty God. I suppose that a number of questions, the writer says here, may come to your mind about how did this happen? And he heard that Duncan Campbell tell the thrilling story. How did Duncan Campbell know to leave Bangor? How did he know to go to the island? He had never been to here before. How did he know? How did Hector McKenna know how to pray? Who to pray for? God had answered prayer. Ask and ye shall receive. There was a tremendous, tremendous revival that had taken place. How did he know? How did he know the secret of the Lord? The secret of the Lord is on your knees. The secret of the Lord is to come before him and to pray and ask God. There is not a place too hard for God to revive. This city is ripe for revival. This town is ripe for revival. God has moved in a tremendous way in my son's life. He brought him to the council here at Williamsport. And the only reason that he came and he was elected to become on the council here, on the council, is the very fact that he stood and he told people, I am going to run on this account that God is faithful and God wants to do a work here. He didn't get involved in all of the other nonsense that political agendas happen, but rather we prayed, and I believe God answered prayer. There is not a place too hard for God to revive. In Jonah chapter number 3, you're there quickly. There. Where are we at here? Jonah Micah. Okay. We're there. All right. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh and the great city and preach unto the preaching I bid thee. And so Jonah did what? He arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh, what? Believe God. Folk, we need to pray. Yes, but we need to preach. We need to be able to take exactly what Pastor Carnes was talking about today in the area of standing up and going to somebody. Don't be afraid. Say to them, there is a way of the Lord. It's right. You need to turn and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to be saved. 2 days ago, my son, in answer to prayer, was able to talk to my father-in-law in the hospital. I really believe God does this in a tremendous way. He's in the hospital right now, laying, and he's in ICU. And the only thing that he came in, my son has been preaching for several years, and I have been very close to my father-in-law. Yes, I have. But he knows me, and he knows where I came from. And guess what? I prayed for my sons. I prayed, God, would you help? Would you bring somebody there? And my son showed up. My son went there. And I really believe he led him to the Lord. He prayed. He said to my son, when he came into the room, and this is true, when he came into the room, the nurse attendant asked, you have a visitor out there. And my father-in-law said, no, I don't have a visitor. I have my grandson here. My grandson. And he came and he prayed. And he came and he shared the gospel with him. Now, I wasn't able to do that. I was not able to do that. I've shared the gospel with them, but it may take somebody in your family to do that. I really do. I really believe it will take somebody from maybe in your family in that way. So parents, hang in there. Raise your kids up to be preachers. Your parents may not be reached, but hey, your grandchildren are there. When they see what's happening, I really believe that the Lord can do that in your life. There's not a place too hard for God to revive. Not a place. But there's no person. There's no person too hard for God to reach. Have you thought about a person? Have you thought about a person in your family to be saved who hasn't been able to? My friend Tom, 30 years ago, more than that, stood in the parking lot, what used to be called, can't think of the name of the place, Hills. Some of you guys are old enough to remember where Hills is. Okay, it's now the furniture place. What's that? Biters. Yeah, okay, Biters. Okay, anyways, in the middle of that parking lot, and my friend Tom witnessed to me in 1977. I haven't had anything to do with it. I got saved in 1978. Trusted Christ as my Savior, went off to Bible school. I really believe that God used him as well as several other people to introduce me to Christ. In the Bible, there is a story in Matthew chapter 19. Would you please turn to it? There's not a person too hard for God to reach. Matthew chapter 19. You'll know it, and as soon as you get to it, you understand where I'm coming from and what I'm turning to. It's called The Rich Young Ruler. And behold, there came one unto the Lord. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. And he said, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and bear false witness. There's the pattern. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself. And the young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth, but what lack I? And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor. You know, treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man had heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, and he's giving the example, and he's teaching us at this point, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall with difficulty enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed and saying, who then shall be and can be saved? And Jesus Christ stands up before them and says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Is there a person too hard to reach? No, there isn't a person too hard to reach. With the gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise toward us, as some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. There's nothing. Why? It's God. We were encouraged this morning with Pastor Carnes. We're serving the God of eternity. He is able. He is able. Listen, if you're here tonight and you think that you're saved, and maybe you've gone too far for God to reach, he'll reach you. He sent his son into this world to reach you because he is the God of the impossible. There's no person too hard for God to redeem. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is no promise too hard? No problem. No prayer. There's not a place that he cannot go. There's not a person that he cannot redeem. He is the God of the impossible. Pray with me. Father, thank you for working in our lives. Thank you for these promises, and there are many others. Reminders of how you do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. You do beyond our thinking. There's a person here tonight that they're at the end of their rope. They don't know what's going on. God knows. God understands. I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, dear Lord, in these days of uncertainty, these days of in which we're wondering which is going to happen next. Yes, we're looking forward to a great Thanksgiving and a great time. And yet, we have a world of hurting around us. Maybe in our midst here. I just pray that you would reach. Pry our hearts open. Help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He is able. He is able. I know my Lord is able. 591. Would you turn to it?